We might not find it here, but as Kelly said, I can't wait until we get there because it's coming. Amen. Well, we'll be in 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to look at the miracle of the floating iron. 2 Kings chapter 6, and for those that are visiting with us that might not have got the paper, we want to give a shout out to the Plaque of Daily News and Ms. Gloria Bradley and all her crew. But I made it in the front paper. If you pick you up one, it'll keep the roaches out of your house. And so there's about a three-page write-up in here, the front page and two other pages on the inside that talk about our youth and talk about what God is doing in our youth program. And back in November, we had challenged our youth to raise $10,000 towards the building fund. And little did we know, in less than 8 weeks, they would make that happen. And so our youth put a stipulation on there that if they did that, they would get to take the blade to Pastor David's head and goatee and, you know, make it a little bit shorter than what he wears it, and then stripe my hair. So we followed through and we did that, and God is blessed in a great and mighty way. So that's what it's all about. We have outgrown what we got, and we've been talking about vision, talking about what the Lord is doing. Look at there. Now they made it up on the front part of the church. I'm telling you what, man. Hey, push a button anywhere and I can pop up at any time. Amen. But God is blessing and moving in a great and mighty way. And it's exciting to see what God is doing. Last year, the Lord added over 116 people to our congregation and 40 by salvation. And, you know, already this year, we've already had 12 join the church and 4 by salvation this year. And God is on the move doing some great and mighty and wonderful things that are going on here. And we got a lot of folks that are out back cooking and things of that nature. But it's just exciting to see what God is doing. It's exciting to have Uncle Earl and Aunt Linda here with me today. And y'all been praying for him. That's my uncle that we put on the prayer list a while back. That is going through throat cancer and dealing with chemo and radiation, some surgeries he's facing in February. But we know, Uncle Earl, you in a praying church. And this church believes in the power of prayer. And you've been on this prayer list for a while. And we're so excited to have Uncle Earl and Aunt Linda here with us today as well. Well, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to look at see what God's word has to say to your heart and my heart about the miracle of the floating iron. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we are thankful for today, the Lord. Thankful for what you're doing in our midst. We're just so excited to be a part of a church that's excited about Jesus. I'm so excited to be a part of a church that is committed to follow you. As Kelly said in her prayer and in her song, the Lord is talking. Sometimes the days seem long and the nights seem dreary. And it just seems like this old world just beats us down. Puts a lot upon our shoulders, the Lord, that we can't seem to bear the load sometimes. Lord, it gets difficult, Father God, but you say keep on going. You say get up and pick up the pieces and move forward again. And Lord, we thank you that you're always right there. When those days do seem long and those nights do seem dreary, and Lord, folks in our family and our loved ones are sick, and those that are passing away, Father, Lord, that have gone on, those times, Father, it feels get difficult in our lives. But Lord, we thank God that we have you to lean on. We thank God that we have Jesus to lean on today. And Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and open up our minds, Lord, and bless us to receive your word this morning. I pray that you would bind Satan up, his demons and workers, and cast them away from here. Lord, they're not welcome here. Father, we pray that you let the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our lives, Lord, and in our hearts today. Father, again, as we open up your word, may it go forward. May it accomplish that which is pleasing and honor to you. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary this morning, O Lord. Fill me with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Give me the words that you desired me to say, that this congregation you desire to hear. And Father, may we take these words today. May we apply them to our life, the Lord. And Father, live out your word in action in our life today. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we pray for the presence and the power, the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be upon their life. Father, if there's some that's here today that's gone astray, Lord, we pray that you bring them back home. Lord, that there might be folks here looking for a church home. And Father, you desire this to be their home. And Father, lead them. Lord, we just want your will to be done, not ours. Your will and your way to be done. And Father, as long as we're in the center of your will, there's nothing we got to worry about. And Father, we just ask for your will to be done today. We're going to praise you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The miracle of the floating axe in 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's look at this. It said in the son, in verse 1, it said, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. It's too small. We're talking about a building fund. We're talking about vision. We're talking about where God wants us to go. And here we see with Elijah, the people are in the same fix right here. It said, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight. It's too small for us. Let's go. And we've been talking about what Brother Leroy Lewis has preached on and what we've been preaching on. And the first two letters of the gospel is called what? Go. And the first two letters in God's name is what? Go. It's time. We've got to go. So let us go and then pray. Go and pray is the key things, my friends. We got to pray that God is in everything we do. He said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. And take thence every man a beam. There's a job for every person to do. Every man a beam. There is something for every one of us to do in God's house as God's children. It says, where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was fell in a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Elias, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, well, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down the stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee and put it on his hand. And he took it. And I see this. And as I started thinking about where we were as a church, and I started thinking about what it is that our vision is, where we wanting to head to, where we wanting to try to be. In this verse 1 and 2, I see that we desire here, the desire is to enlarge the coast. Look back at verse 1 and 2. It said, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elijah, behold, the place where we dwell with thee is too small, it's too straight for us. So they wanted to build a larger place. My friend, they wanted to get out and to do something bigger and better for the Lord. They wanted to build a larger arena. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I know, Kelly, as you sang a while ago, and you was talking about in life, and life in general, it's full, it seems like, of troubles and trials and heartaches and failures sometimes. It seems like everywhere you turn around, there's just the satanic depression up on people and people's lives, my friends. You see the drugs running rampant. You see murder running rampant. And the things of this world, my friends, seems to consume the body of believers as well as what it does in the world. And we see these things, and we see it come to pass. But it says in the last part of Proverbs 29:18, it says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Happy is that one that finds favor in God's eyes. Happy is the one that is on their knees. And my friends, sometimes God has a way of getting us on our knees. Amen. Sometimes he has a way of getting us in his word. Sometimes with the difficulties of life that we have, my friend, it tends to draw us closer to the Lord. It tends to draw us closer to his word. It tends to get us on our knees so that we can get in fellowship and in tune with what the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God wants to do in your life and my life. God tends to have a way of getting us there, my friends. And we see that if we want to be happy and we want to be fulfilled in the Lord, then we've got to be prayed up and studied up and on fire for him, my friends. Gather around brothers and sisters in Christ. Share with them what's going on in your life. Let them become your prayer warriors. Grab one another. Become each other's accountability partners. Be able to call, hey, Miss Karen, man, can you pray for me? Man, the devil's working me over this week. I need a prayer warrior. Would you pray with me this week? Miss Becky, the devil is all over me. Can you help me? Can you pray for me this week? Can you pray for me? And there's nothing better than brothers and sisters coming together in the Lord and believing in prayer that God can do great and mighty things. That he specializes, my friend, in those impossible things. Nothing is impossible with him. And we see in these chapters as we look in, not only that, but every man had a job to do. My friends, as we are stepping out on faith and God has given us a vision, every man and every woman in here, we got a job to do, regardless whether it's just being a prayer warrior, praying for your leaders, praying for God's vision, or you in here and you're part of cleaning the church or cooking fish out back, whatever it is, we have a job to do. Every person has a job to do in this church. Together, everyone accomplishes more. It's a team effort. There's no I in team. No I in team. T-A-M. Together, everyone accomplishes more. There's a job to do for each and every one of us. If we will step out in faith and we get tuned in with what the Lord wants us to do and be obedient and be committed to the work of the fellowship of God's house, my friends, we can accomplish more things when we work together as a team. And we see every man had a job to do. Look at verses 2 through 4. He said, let us go and pray unto Jordan and take thence every man a beam. Every person had a job to do. It said, take every man a beam. It just didn't say one or two of the strongest men in the church do all the work. It said every man, every person, every man was to take a beam. Take a beam and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And verse 3 said, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. They began to work. They had a job to do. They were building a new place to, my friends, to worship in, a new place to dwell in, a new place to live in. The place where they were was too straight. It was too small. So they dreamed, and they needed to enlarge their borders. They needed to enlarge their coast. They needed to enlarge where it was they were. And so they dreamed about it. They came together. Every man, in verse 2, had a beam. And they crossed over and said, be content. Pray thee and go. And in verse 4 says, so he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. When they came to Jordan, wasn't just an individual. It's a team effort that come together. And when they came together, they cut down the wood. When they came together, they built the place that needed to be built. My friends, when you and I come together, we can do great and mighty things for God's kingdom. Great and mighty things for the work of the Lord. When we come together, we can do things amazingly that seems impossible. But thank the Lord, we serve a God that, my friend, specializes in what we call the impossible. And coming together to accomplish what God's will is and way is for our life. Here they cut down, my friend, the wood. And when I looked at this, and I look in verse 5, you see this gentleman, my friends, he loses his axe head. Look at verse 5. It said, but as one was felling, and fell in a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Elias, master, for it was borrowed. Here this man was. He was working, and the tools he was using was a borrowed axe head, my friends. And he loses his axe head. And when he lost his axe head, he lost his ability to be able to work. My friends, he was out there chopping wood with the axe head, chopping wood with the iron. And when the iron fell off the end of the axe head, you can beat the wood all day long, but it ain't gonna get nowhere. He lost his ability to work. He lost his ability of the power. When this happens, we become helpless, my friends. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you like this man that had the axe in his hand, and you begin to chop the wood, and your axe handle broke and fell off, and you become powerless, my friends. You become to where you had no power. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you've gotten to a place, my friends, where the Lord has been dealing with you, and you turned your back on him and walked away. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've lost your power today. Well, let me tell you something. I know where you can get your power back at. And his name is Jesus. Tap into his source. He has abundant supply of power that he wants to demonstrate in your life and my life. Here he was, my friend, without any hope. He had lost it all. 1 Corinthians 4:19 and 20 says this, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." It's empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. He lost his power. He lost the ability to be able to work, my friends, when his axe handle broke. And it's the same thing with you and me. Where there's an old song that says, "I can't even walk without him holding my hand." You and I can't do nothing without the Lord being in it. And my friends, we are nothing. And as I said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Without him, we can do nothing, my friends. Without him leading us, without him guiding us, without him directing us, my friend, we're nothing and nobody. We got to depend upon his power, my friend, and the power of the gospel to help us. In Acts 1:8, he says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." When I looked there, and I seen these men look at their situation, my friend, and where they were at, and the place they were living in, and where they were dwelling was too small. And they began to dream. They began to say, "Hey, this place we're in, it's too straight, it's too small for us. We need to pray about it, and we need to go. And we need to search out some land. And we need to build a bigger place, my friends, that we can dwell in and accomplish what it is that God wants us to do." I see, my friends, in this situation with Elijah and the people he's dealing with, it's the same thing. Thank the Lord for a great problem like that to have. Well, you're overflowing in the back and you can't get no more people in there. And where the Awanas is busting out of the seams. Where our youth is overflowing. And Sunday school's overflowing. I don't think you can put another person in this church for Sunday school unless you just combine them all together and have a big service in here. It's amazing. Amazing what God is doing. Amazing the power that God is demonstrating, my friends. And they came together and they made this happen. But it took every one of them coming together. In verse 2, as I said, it said every man had a beam, my friend. And then when in verse 4, and they got over across Jordan, they cut down wood. They worked together for the cause of Christ to make this happen. And we see, my friends, whenever this man lost his ability to have an axe in his hand, he lost his power to be able to work. And when you and I lose our sight and lose vision on the goal that God has designed and desired for us in this life, then, my friends, you and I will become powerless. We will become ineffective Christians, my friend. When you're beat down and you're burdened down and bogged down and the devil robs you of your joy, he tells me in John 10:10 that the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do in your life. But the rest part of that says, "But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." God wants to give you an abundant life, my friends. An abundant life. It's the Satan that wants to kill and steal and destroy everything and the works of God. We've got to get our eyes on him. We've got to get our focus on him and keep our vision and keep in tune with what the Lord wants us to do. The power, he lost it, my friend. He lost it while he was working. In verse 5, it said again, "But as one was felling a beam, that axe head fell into the water." He was in the process of working, my friends, when he lost his ability to work. In 1 Kings 20:40 says, "And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided it." We don't want to get so busy here and there that we lose our sight on him up there. We don't want to get so busy, my friend, that we lose our focus and understanding where we need to be. keeping our eyes on Jesus, keeping our focus on Him, that we don't get so busy, caught up in work, that we forget what God has called us to do. And He says, go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He says, go. Even though we're talking about building, even though our focus and our vision is on that, we do not need to lose the sight of evangelism and what God is telling us to do to go. My friend, we need to keep that in the first and foremost in the front of our minds, my friend. While working, we can lose the power of the Spirit and the presence of God's nearness, my friend, when we get so busy and caught up with everything else. We still need to be spending time in God's Word. We still need to be spending time on our knees in prayer and keeping our focus on the Master, keeping our focus on Jesus and what it is He would have us to do. My friend, number four, he was painfully conscious of his loss. Look back at verse 5. He said, and the axe head fell into the water, and he what? Are y'all with me this morning? There's only two people that said it right. The axe head fell in the water and he what? He cried, my friend. He was painfully conscious of his loss. He at least stopped trying to cut down a tree after the axe head was lost. And he had turned his attention to the Master and cried out. So many times when you and I lose our way in this life, and we lose our excitement about Jesus, and we lose our way that we should go, we tend to turn around and just keep on walking. My friend, we need to do exactly what this man did. When he lost the axe head and he lost the handle on the iron, he stopped immediately and he called out to the Master for help. That's the same thing you and I need to do, my friend. When we lose our way, don't keep on going down that way. Stop and cry out to the Master and let Him bring about a healing of your heart. Let Him get you back in the place where you need to be, my friends. Stop what you're doing and get your focus back on the Lord. Immediately, he appealed to his Master. He cried out to the Master. When I thought about him, I thought about the prodigal son that had lost his way. In Luke 15 and 13 through 20, it said, not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country. There, wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And went and joined himself with the citizens of that country, and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with husk, and the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and spare, and are perished with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him, had compassion, ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. When I think about this, and I think about the prodigal son, my friends, he went wayward. He went on his way. He raced at everything he had in riotous living and ended up in a pig pen, my friends. And that might be where some of you end up. But my friend, you ain't got to stay in the pig pen. You can be just like the prodigal son. Come to your senses and your mind and get back to the Father and get back in fellowship with the Lord. And my friends, just as this father, the prodigal son, had compassion on him, ran to him, fell on him, and kissed his neck, Jesus is waiting right there where you and I left him at. He's waiting right there where we left him at, with his arms open wide for you and me, waiting for us to run back to the Father, waiting for us to run back to Him. And my friend, He had just as much compassion on you as what He did when you were in fellowship with Him. He tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, and that's not it. In 1 John 1:9, He says, if we will confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess unto Him and believe in Him, my friends, He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we give it to Him. Just as this man did when he lost his axe handle in verse 5, he cried out to the Master, my friends. We need to do the same thing. When you lose your way, my friend, you need to cry out to the Master. Cry out to the one that can handle the situation. Not only that, but number four, he lost that which he was not his own, my friend. He lost that which was not his own. He said, Elias, Master, for it was borrowed. It was borrowed. He lost that was not his own. All we have, and we need to understand, is not our own. It belongs to the Father. It belongs to God. All that we have, all that we are, it belongs to Him. My friends, He tells us in Matthew 28:18, He said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He owns it all, my friends. He's got it all under control. It all belongs to Him anyhow. He was concerned about that which he had borrowed. It tells us in Psalm 37:21. It tells us there, the wicked borroweth and pay not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. My friends, and that's what Jesus does. In Romans 13, in verses 6 through 8, it says, for this call pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I honestly feel, my friends, and honestly believe, my friends, that God has showed us some great and mighty things, that there is no doubt that God is in this place, my friends, and that God knows what we have need of. And my friends, to think of that, there was $10,000 raised, and more than that, in less than 8 weeks. My friend, it's an amazing thing. I honestly believe that God has the money, and God has it all that we need to build a building, my friends. We just need to get in tune and touch with Him. He has it all. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. My friend, and He knows where it is. God's got it. My friend, you might be sitting here today, and you might be struggling or something. You might have lost your job. You might, both of your spouses might have lost your income or whatever. God knows, my friend. Trust in Him. He will provide. He will provide. He knows what we have need of. My friends, we just need to trust in Him and let God work out the details. And number five, he had to go where he lost it to get it returned. Look at verse 6. He said, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did float. My friend, he had to get back and return to the place where he lost it. That is the same thing for you and me. My friend, we might have gone astray. We might be doing things we ought not do, say things we ought not say, go places we ought not to go, my friend, and feel weak and defeated, my friend. But you need to get back to the place where God can use you and develop you and grow you like you once were. My friend, if you're not prayed up and studied up and excited about Jesus like you used to when you first got saved, you need to get back to where it is that God wants to use you. Get back. Jacob, he had to get back to Bethel. In Genesis 35, in verses 1 and 3, it said, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God. And it appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. In verse 3, in Genesis 35 and verse 3, he said, and let us rise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God. And he answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. My friends, some of us might need to get back to Bethel. Some of us might need to get back to Bethel and find a way that God has designed and desired for you to me and me to be. Not only that, as I said earlier, the prodigal son, he had to get back to the father's house. In Luke 15:18, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He arose. He went back to his Bethel. He went back to the father. My friends, maybe that's some of us in here today. We need to arise and get back to Bethel. If we're going to do anything for the Lord, if we're going to see visions to come to pass, if we're going to see buildings to be built, then, my friend, we got to have a solid foundation founded on Jesus. We've got to get back to Bethel. We've got to get back to the Father and do it His way, my friend. There's no other way that it can happen other than us getting back to the Father. We must deal with that very thing that caused you and me to lose our power and lose our excitement and our enthusiasm. We've got to get back to that area where God wants us and established us. He said in verse 6 that He took a stick or a branch and He cut it. Look at verse 6. He said, and the man of God said, where fell it? And He showed him the place. And He cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. My friends, Christ was the branch cut off of the land of the living. Listen to me. It tells me in Zechariah 6:12, He said, and He spake unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, a man whose name is what? The branch. Behold, a man whose name is the branch. And he shall grow up out of this place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And in Isaiah 4:2, He said, in the day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. He tells us in Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. He tells me in Jeremiah 33:15, in the days, at that time, will I cause the what? The branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. He tells us in Zechariah 3:8, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou, and thou feller that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. We've got to get in tune with the Lord. And when I think about the branch, I think about John 15. And I think about what Jesus says here. He said in John 15 and verses following, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit, my friend. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. We've got to keep Jesus first and foremost in our front. If we're going to have a vision, then Jesus has got to be the one in the center of the vision, my friend. If we're going to build a building, if we're going to do anything profitable for the ministry around here, then Jesus has got to be in the center and forefront of everything we do. He said, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. We need to understand that we can do nothing without Jesus. We would be nobody. We would be ineffective and not even efficient, my friends, if we don't keep Jesus first and foremost in the front of everything we do. He said in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We need to understand, my friends, we can't do anything without Jesus being the center of everything we do. The miracle, number 7, the miracle of the iron swimming. Look at verse 6 again. He said, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down the stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. God specializes in the impossible. God specializes in the impossible. God can do the impossible. He got the axe head back through a miracle that He performed. My friend, and God can do the same thing in your life and my life. If we will open up our heart's door and give it to Him, God wants to do a miracle in your life today. My friend, maybe you've never been saved here. Maybe that's what it's about. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man will open up his heart's door, I will come in and abide in him and him in me. My friend, that abiding in Jesus, He's calling us today. The word to the unsaved, God can lift the iron, my friend, out of the miry mud and muck and clay. My friend, that might be where your heart is today, hard as iron. But just as God performed a miracle and raised that iron up out of that water and made it begin to float, my friend, God can do the same thing to your life and my life and raise us up again so we can be floating in the Holy Spirit, amen, and be doing what the Lord has called us to do. And it's exciting for him, my friends. God wants to do some amazing things. Danny, y'all can come back. God wants to do some amazing things in your life and my life. The vision that we have, my friends, the vision that we talked about, is we see right here in these first verses, there was a desire to build. God gave them a desire. They realized, my friend, that the place they were in was too small and it was not effective no more. My friends, they seen a desire that they had to go and build. My friend, then they came together, every man a beam. Every man had a beam. Every man came together. My friend, as I said, together, everyone accomplishes more. There is work to do for everybody. My friend, we have got to come together and get busy for what the Lord wants us to do. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. God wants to do some amazing things in your life and my life. Are we willing to open up our heart's door and be like Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, wherever it is you want me to go, Father, whatever part of the team you want me to take on, Lord, ever how big the beam is you want me to go, there is work for every person to do. My friend, whether it's just to pray, and we need plenty of that, because I can tell you, Satan can't stand what's going on here. Can't stand it. We all need to be prayed up and studied up and keeping the devil on the run, my friend, because he ain't wanted here and there's no place for him here, my friend. And the only way he can get in here is if you bring him in. Why? Because your life is holy. He says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. My friend, if you're a Christian and a child of the King, Jesus lives within you. My friend, you are a holy, peculiar people. And this is God's building. And Satan's not welcome here. The only way he can get in is if we crack the door and invite him in. We got to be prayed up and studied up and keep him outside of there. Amen.